Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are you this evening? Welcome to the Hagman Report. It is the 17th of March. I had to look there for a second. I was still stuck on the 16th. And we're having a little bit of audio difficulties coming in. I'm sure you've got our theme song memorized by now. If you don't know the words, just hum it. Okay. Listen, we got a really exciting show set up for you tonight. Doug's put a ton of work into this. I didn't do so much today on it. I only contributed a couple videos, but they're goodies. And I guess when we look at what's been happening here, I see that Netanyahu's still alive. Gotten our proof of life out of him. And just recently, and I mean like within the half hour, we're getting news that two more top Iranians were killed. I'm not sure their names at this point. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. Tehran mourns Larijani and Soleimani. So I thought I'd pass that along to you. Seems like every time it's like whack-a-mole. Every time somebody sticks their head up there in Iran, it's like, bam, they get hit. And that's a war that, you know, people are complaining about casualties and civilian casualties and all that. And I'll tell you the truth, I haven't seen a war yet that didn't have civilian casualties. I know that we, the United States does not go out there with the sole purpose of, you know, having civilian casualties, but civilian casualties do happen. And that's sad. And I hate to just label them as collateral damage, but that's what they are. And we're still working on the audio here. I know Eric was having some difficulty earlier. I came in twice on Zoom and got popped out twice. So anyway, I'm just fill some time here until Doug can come onto the scene. And, you know, I don't have the chat pulled up, but I hope the members of our chat are with us, our faithful members. You know, I know over time we lost a few people in chat. And a lot of that was because sometimes people are not polite to each other. And on that subject, you just work on that. Okay. There's no need to be nasty. Doesn't solve anything. Doesn't prove anything. And it's certainly not. It's not anything to be proud of. We're picking up barely getting any audio here out of Doug. I think I can hear him. I don't know if you guys. Go ahead, Doug. One more time. Can you hear me? Yes, sir. Very faint, but I can hear you. Okay, I'm going to keep talking. Anyway, let's see here. Anything special going on now with me? We're still struggling as a family. You know that. So listen, if you can do anything for my family, that's probably the last time I'm even going to bring this up. Because I don't like asking for anything. I've always fought hard all my life to do things on my own. And it's just, we really got in a bad jam here, and I don't want to lose the house, and I've had so many medical things thrown at me. But anyway, if you go to PayPal, and it's rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com, rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. That's through PayPal. Listen, the folks that have sent to me, I love you. I feel very blessed to have you in my life. And I think I would have lost my mind a long time ago if it wasn't for you folks. And we're climbing out of this hole. It's going to take a long time. Like I said, they're still working on the mortgage. So, I don't even know what's going on there. I did want to say this. I am no longer on X.
Test 1, 2.
There you are, Doug. You are here. But anyway, I'm no longer on X. There's a good reason for that. In fact, we'll have a video later in the show that will explain some of what's going on in Canada right now.
Just cut you off here.
Okay. And okay, we can hear everything, guys.
Yeah, I'll be sure not to say any naughties.
But all anyway, right. I'm not on X anymore, and there's a reason for that.
What'd you do?
I took myself off of there. Things are getting bad in Canada. They just passed Bill C-9.
Oh, yeah.
And they can come and put me in jail for disagreeing with the government, which is something that I'm known for. So I backed out.
You pussy.
Yeah, I am. I'm a pussy.
I'm going to tell you something right now, okay? Look, if you're behind enemy lines.
Mine is a complicated situation because of my family.
Plus, okay, so you have, here's the issue with you, folks, and I'm okay with this, and I'll tell you why. Because some would call me a hypocrite now with RT. Based on the work he's done, he is known to international intelligence groups, okay? So to pin him at a higher level, to pinch him at a higher level, that's exactly what they would do. Especially if I was the opposition, I would get him at the higher level, and that would be against the state. It would almost be like treason here, and now. Sedition, treason, but kind of not hate speech, not that, but a much more serious charge. So I'm all in favor of you, given your position prior and current, the work you are doing undercover, as well as your relationship with the international, the Five Eyes. Yeah, don't do that. Even in your disability status, plus your disability status, yeah. Okay, even though you're on modified duty.
It was after, there was a lot of soul searching on this, guys. I had to do a lot of soul searching, and there's also family members that could have been affected in their employment, things like that, and I'm not gonna jeopardize anyone like that. We don't have the... It's just hard to explain, okay? But anyway, I'm still on Facebook, but X, there's no protection there whatsoever.
Oh, no. And it's not worth it because the feeds are almost invisible.
I'm not a Canadian, okay? The fight isn't mine.
Right, right. And by the way, RT, hold that thought. Anyone who's on X... that's in the chat right now, do me a favor, because you know sometimes I don't know who you are. I mean, I know kind of who you are, but I don't really know who you are. So if you have a handle on X and you're in the chat, if you want, just tell me who you are, like, you know, your X, what do you call that, your handle,
your whatever, handle, your name. Yeah, your handle, that's right.
Okay. So, all right. Because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. All right. So you had your say coming in. And by the way, let me explain what happened before. Don't run with scissors. I'm kidding.
There's that.
Well, yeah, there is that. But here's what happened. I was actually cutting a pill for a lady. And... using one of those knives you would use for, I don't know, window film or like an X-Acto knife, but they're flimsy.
Yeah.
And I cut the pill and tablet in half, pill, and the piece, honest to goodness, I could not make this up. A piece, I turned my head and a piece hit me right in the cheek on the outside. It stuck in there, okay? That's how fast it was. A little piece, it stuck in there. So now when you take blood thinners, it looks like you butchered a hog, okay? And they're just kind of close, but hold that thought. So here I'm bleeding down on my shirt. My wife comes out and she's like, "What did you do? What the hell? Do I need to call an ambulance?" And I say, no. Just give me a rag. So anyway. So you can't, I mean, you can barely, it doesn't take much, you know. Head wounds bleed a lot. Face, it's like.
Any wound bleeds when you're on blood thinners, buddy. Yeah.
So my wife did suggest the tourniquet around the neck deal, in case anyone wants that. So that's why I'm light. The things we do for our loved ones.
Yes.
All right.
So for your four-legged friends.
Yeah. Rub some dirt on it. Absolutely. I'm all in favor of that. All right. So a couple of things. You had mentioned Canadian speech laws. Okay. Yeah. We do have something in the show notes. I'm going to get right to this now that we wasted. I'm sorry. Not that you wasted, but I wasted this much time.
This is serious, folks.
Yeah. So I have a lot of information. We have a lot of information, actually. The Canada has a real big issue. And now this is coming into the states, in different states. For you're going to say, well, show me the receipts. Show me where the law is. That's the thing. There are no specific laws in these various states that restrain or restrict our speech yet. But what is happening, and I believe this to be 100% true based on everything I've seen, they're floating a trial. What'd you call them? Trials.
Trial runs.
Yeah. And I know.
And we warned about this. We warned about this stuff.
It's crazy, man, to think. One state specifically is Washington, the state of one, not the D.C., but Washington State. And the other one happened in California. And a third, yet, get this, happened in, oh, yes, you got it, Virginia. So that's what I heard of. Okay, so, or heard about. Let's play cut six. This will give you a perfect. Now, look, you're going to hear some F-bombs, I think, from a little old lady here. I don't know. I watched it a couple of times, and, you know, it's like, okay. But think about this. Think about what's going on here. Ain't no one going to save you. This is what it's coming to. And I've said this before, and I'll say this again, and I'll tell you why. It's because of the self-censorship. It's because people are complying with the algorithmic censors. Okay. They will type in R@PE instead of rape. They will type in, they will say, they'll invent new words like unalived. He was unalived. They refuse to say suicide. They refuse to say homicide. They refuse to say rape or assassination or any of the words that get them. Oh, that'll demonetize the feed. That'll demonetize the video. You can't even say sexual. That's how ridiculous. And people, you know, the people who, hang on, the very people who are saying, screw the masks. This is I'm free. I don't have to just, you can't make me wear a mask. You can't make me take a vaccine. You can't make me do X, Y, and Z are self-censoring. Okay. So this is why this is going ahead. And there were a few things I wanted to address in the show today, specifically about the threat of terrorism. But, you know, as the program or as the afternoon drew on, I saw so much. I wanted to take the show in a little bit different direction. Now, I want to talk about the psyops that are hitting all of us, okay, because people are falling for this. And, you know, if RT, right now the climate runs on a state of fear. Fear sells. Like blood, fear smells. You know, I should have done that. I should have came here earlier and reopened the wound because that would sell. But blood sells, fear sells, terror sells. Terror sells. Interesting play on words there. But here is the reality. You're getting played. We're all getting played. I'm getting played. And, you know, I have a video in here. You think you're not going to fall for it? You think you're not going to fall for it? Don't give me that crap. We all fall for it at some point. All fall in it. Go ahead, Arthur.
Here's reality, and I've told you this before, and I've told the people this, okay? I am not a citizen of Canada. And I have said many times. I've been very, very clear about this. This is not my fight to lead.
In Canada.
I have, and damn, yeah, I've, in the U.S., I fight. I fought. When I'm in Canada, I fought. The difference is I am a U.S. citizen. I have a vested interest in the United States, and I would never do what I had to do here in Canada. I did it up here for a multitude of reasons, and number one, this isn't my fight. I've always said, I will go with you and do what needs to be done, but I will not lead the way. I won't do it.
Not for a country that is not yours.
No, they don't give a, yeah, they don't give a damn about me. I've served my country. I've given more to my country than people ever know about. You know what? I told Doug the other day, I told him, thank you. Why don't I told him, thank you? I said, thank you, because nobody in the United States would even know who the fuck I am.
Yeah, that's true.
If it wasn't for my friend. And nobody gives a shit about what I did. Nobody did. Nobody cared.
But you know.
But my friend.
It's the platform. It's the people, RT. It's not me. Okay. I just answered the phone, you know, so to speak. It's others that lifted us up. It's the people who watch
us. I'm just so angry about so many things, Doug. I know.
But you know, although that brought us to a great level, you notice we did not go back to YouTube when invited because, hey, they take it away from you once, I'll take it away from you again.
Yep.
So I'm not going to play that game with communists. So no.
And ladies and gentlemen, I don't have any legs. I ain't doing time in a Canadian prison.
They'd use you as a hockey puck. Okay. Or third base. I don't know. I'm kidding. But
I just shortstop.
Look, no, you've had a rough hand dealt to you. And for all you've given to the U.S., as well as Canada, which benefited from your work, okay, that's a hard thing to take. But okay, but here's the issue. This is what's kind of happening here in the U.S. a little bit. It's being tested. But here's what happened in Canada. Multiply this times, I don't know, how many acres and how many people up there. You know, it's a crap ton. But here's Carney taking issue with a social media post. Now, think about this long and hard, and then we're going to move off from that and get right into the real issue, and that is stop falling for the crap. And, you know, well, let's play this first. Cut six. Here it is. Minute 30, roughly. Here it is.
So you've made some online posts to the Prime Minister of Canada. Anything to say about that?
Can you be more specific? What post? What I specifically said? Do you have a screenshot?
Yeah, you specifically said, and you made it online.
Because, I mean, he's a Zionist scumbag, and he's not my prime minister, so... Okay. But really, you're going to come to my door, and you're worried that I'm going to do something? Do I seriously look like a threat to you?
So that's why we came to talk, right? So those threats are made...
You know what? You guys should be busy taking care of actual real crime than standing here harassing me over fucking shit I say online.
I understand, but...
Okay, don't be wasting tax dollars doing this bullshit.
Nicole, if such behavior continues, if there is...
What are you going to do? Put me in jail because I don't like our prime minister?
No, but if you made some threats that are conservative...
What kind of threats did I make? You still haven't shown me what I said.
You're talking over me, man. I'm trying to explain to you what the...
Show me what I said.
So if those threats are continued...
Show me what I said.
Right? You could be arrested and charged. Just want to let you know.
Communist Canada, how do you like working for that? Are you proud of yourself? Do you go back home and look at your family in the mirror and say, this is what you do for a living? You harass people for what they say online because I don't like our stupid prime minister and he's a Zionist sunbag?
You can have your opinion. You can
whatever. So you I don't have to discuss anymore with this.
So listen,
excuse me, don't touch my door.
That's what I'm letting you know.
So don't touch my door.
We will put a report in. It's documented. If such behavior continues, the Toronto...
Blah, blah, blah. I will say okay, whatever she talks the fuck over I this. Want.
Cut it. Cut it. It ends with them giving her a verbal warning, saying they're going to write her up, basically. If it happens again, they're going to come back and throw her.
That's right here in Toronto. That's right here in Toronto.
Right. Right. So,
and you can say that you can say the words "I've had enough," and that's considered a threat.
It's not what it's not the definition. Okay, it's the ever expanding definition of hate speech. It's what they perceive as hate speech, whatever they define it as. Which is why the minister of truth, remember that that was such a dangerous idea. You cannot. In other words, if they perceive that your statement, or if they feel that it's threatening to them, it threatens their sensibilities, even though they're hypersensitive, you're still on the hook. Civilly and criminally, and that's what's coming here.
And next, ladies and gentlemen, this is no joke. This is that I expect us in weeks. Religious, any kind of religious text, and that's from the Bible, the Quran. It doesn't matter. It will be outlawed.
It's already in Canada, right?
Already in the works. I'm sorry, I'm ranting on Canada because I'm
that's. You got some
off.
Physical.
I'm pissed off. I'm angry.
You know, Ken and I, we're not talking. Okay. So,
yeah, I don't blame you.
But here's the thing with respect to what we do here.
And I can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah, you've got to. You got to flee. But you know, you're going to double. Look, whatever. But here's what we have to do as a Western civilization. We have to say what we mean what we say. We have to stand behind what we say. And we have to, I mentioned, I think it was on Thursday, about drawing lines in the sand. And I thought about that statement. And I thought, you know, it's rather convenient we use sand as a medium to draw a line in, because you can always cover that back up and step a few steps back and draw another line, right? It's an ever-moving line. No, that line should not be movable.
No, but you have to mean it when you say it.
Exactly. We have to be willing to prison.
Yes.
We have to be willing for our principles, for the Bible, in a righteous fight. We have to stand up for what is godly, what is right, what is moral. We have to say, if you are a guy dressed is a girl in a dress, that's not right. We have to say that. We have to call that out. Some people will say that's mental illness. Look, I think it's demonic as well as mental. We have to stand up against the programming that is coming against our children. We have to stand up against the indoctrination. We have to stand up against the communists. Have you noticed that we can do all the talking all day long, right? And we can expose the crap out of everything. But what has changed? Tell me, what's changed? How many arrests for the J6 unselect deselect committee?
Not a one, sir.
That up zero. How many Epstein co-conspirators in jail, aside from Maxwell that's got a cushy deal?
And that zero. I still zero, and I still can't believe it, Doug.
But everyone talks around these issues. Everyone talks around them. Yes. Everyone will say, well, I think this. That, I think the Epstein rapes and the child sex trafficking, it was just absolutely horrendous. But they won't say. No, they'll bleep out the sex and the rape, and they'll be cutesy with the word. And I don't believe Epstein committed suicide. No, I don't believe Epstein unalived himself. So they're willing. The people who say they're willing to fight are bending. They're twisting themselves in knots to make things up, to make up words, to what? To accommodate the algorithms so they can make money on social media. That ain't my game. I make zero on social media. And if there are ads that play during these broadcasts, I don't get squat. Okay. It's the whatever that puts them over. It's Rumble or whatever. Okay. Simple as that. Do you think someone would want to sponsor me anyway? No. Now, the satellite phone store, of course, there's in-kind stuff that we do. But beyond that, And Health Masters, you know, we have a an arrangement there. But that's that we don't charge them anything. We don't. So to be clear, everything that you're seeing on social media today is revenue driven. It's not driven by a conservative ideology. And RT, I'm going to let you talk. I promise. I just have to get this out of me. Everything that you see, all these principles that people are standing up for, is not driven by this conservative ideology, this biblical righteousness. Because if you were so biblically righteous, you would call people out. You would stand tall and stand firm, and you would say, this is exactly what it is. Not be cutesy with your words. Not be cutesy with your letters and your postings on social media so you can get the clicks, so you can collect the ad revenue. And the other thing too, if you were serious about this country and the godly, the biblical principles by which we stand, for which we stand, then you would not use fear as the platform for popularity. You would not use clickbait bullshit for the platform for revenue generation. You would not use the you would not capitalize. And you don't capitalize on the anti-Semitic stuff. Okay, you would not be capitalizing on that. People think they have cornered the market on conspiracy, which, good for you. Okay, go with God. Go with God. You got it all figured out. You got it all figured out, right? Good.
Go peacefully.
Right. Okay. That's fine. You know, whether it's Candace Owens or who's against Candace Owens, I don't know. Whoever. I don't know. I don't even know the players in the fight. I just know that there's a fight. But here's the bottom line, RT. And then please come in and comment on this and take as long as you want, because again, I just had to get this out. We're all getting hoodwinked. Every single friggin' one of us were getting hoodwinked. And you say, no, I'm smarter than that. I know what the real truth is. I'm going to prove tonight. We are going to prove tonight that you don't.
He's got a great lineup of stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. I looked down the video list. What Doug was talking about, these people are revenue governed. And that's the reason they get out of bed. And they formulate their whole show around it. And you can't do that, you know. We sat here, you know, I've sat here with you shoulder to shoulder in the fight from J6 before that. I mean, you know, we were staring DOJ down the throat. They were staring down our throats, you know. I mean, I know what it's like to be in the fight. I just, as far as Canada is concerned, ladies and gentlemen, I got to let the Canadians run with this. And that's cool. If they decide they're going to do something good, I'm with you. I'll back you up 100%. I'll go with you, but I will not lead the charge. Okay. And down here in the United States, I will always help lead the charge. Period.
I wouldn't expect you to fight for a foreign country anyway.
No.
We mean America first.
And first. I am Donald Trump. I love my country.
And you know, it doesn't matter if it's Trump in that office or whoever. Okay,
using him for example, right? Because that's one guy you cannot question that he loves his country.
Right now, how he shows it and some of the decisions he makes, you can certainly take issue with that, and I'm fine with that.
That's different.
I'm okay with that. So I just want to make that clear, because a lot of people right now are really stepping in it. I'm just saying, and you know, that does not disinclude me sometimes, because sometimes I forgot what I've been taught. Now, just for some context very quickly here, everyone's familiar with the two depositions that dropped with the Epstein files, right? The Hillary Clinton deposition and then Bill Clinton deposition, correct? The 4.5 hours apiece. I watched them both multiple times, actually. Parts multiple times, and then the whole thing probably twice, both of them. So I have a lot of hours vested in that. But one thing I wanted to address to you. Everyone is talking about And RT, you can chime in here too, because everyone's talking about the deposition, right? Everyone's saying, well, you know, they lied, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or whatever. Everyone's bitching and moaning, which rightfully so, about no arrests and about some of the questions. But you know what's not being talked about, RT? You know what's not being talked about? I don't know how many people ever have attended depositions, superintended depositions, you know, managed them or been part of them. If you're an attorney, or if you're a prosecutor, or if you're an investigator sitting in on a deposition or getting deposed by in a deposition, I've been through hundreds of them. Okay, over the four decades, and here's what people aren't asking. And here's the problem I have. And folks, I want you to widen your lens a little bit. The depositions, but what's the purpose of the depositions? RT, you want to chime in here and tell me?
The purpose as they should have been, or the purpose as we wonder about the dog and pony show that played out in front of
us? Well, the stated deposition of Hillary and Bill Clinton, what was the stated purpose of that?
The stated purpose was...
Yeah, I mean, to put you on a spot.
To get to the bottom of their involvement with Epstein and funding very various levels of the relationship with Epstein.
Okay. Did they do that?
I don't feel so.
All right. In a civil lawsuit, I'll just tell you right now, the purpose in general in a civil lawsuit of a deposition, or let me state this differently. In a civil venue, a deposition is used as part of the discovery process. All right. It takes sworn testimony under oath. It's out of court oral testimony. Nowadays, it is videoed. It's usually, I don't think I've ever seen one that's not video. You know, the video hasn't run. And it's used to advance a case, whether it's criminal or civil. Again, there's a difference obviously between criminal and civil. And I did take some notes here as I was going through it. Just want to make sure I don't. Again, they're most common in civil cases. Now, the Congress has the ability to depose people or take testimony under oath in an open setting. Here's what people are missing about the Clinton depositions, and here is why. There is nothing that is serious. There won't be any accountability on Epstein. And I'm going to tell you, why? I mean, well, you know why, folks, but I'm going to give you some ordinary, good old talking points here. The this is a big topic, so give me a minute here. And by the way, I spent back in, I don't know how many decades, what, 30 years ago, I spent close to, I think, $800 and $900 in textbooks. I spent 2,000 hours in the field, and also another, I can't remember how many hours, in forensic classes for linguistic analysis and that's right, body language, nonverbal communication analysis. Analysis of nonverbal communication. So the forensic disciplines, like you would see on shows you've seen, like Lie to Me and stuff, okay? So being certified in that, I know a little bit about which I speak. And I'm also certified in other forensic disciplines like blood spatter analysis, okay, which has served me well throughout my career. But the nonverbal communication is, and the linguistic analysis things have really helped me in life. Okay. And I want everything to help you. All of this is part of this PSYOP, all the bigger PSYOP. In RT, what would happen here is the Clintons were subpoenaed by Congress initially to testify in front of Congress, right? It was supposed to be in front of the Congressional Committee in Washington, D.C., in front of Congress. That was last year. What happened? Something happened that normally does not happen in depositions that are serious. The targets of the deposition, or the people who would be giving the deposition, were allowed to create some rules. Object to, well, we're not going to testify in Washington, but we'll testify or give it, we'll do it in New York. We're not going to testify in front of the entire committee. We're going to limit it down. We'll do it over here in front of a select few. So they're making the rules, just so you guys know. And I'm sure you know this, but I see a lot of arguments going in the wrong direction. And even so, I see a lot of unnecessary energy, unnecessary focus on things that really you should ask questions long before this. Okay. So the Clintons were able to ultimately get their way. We're going to do this behind closed doors. Sure, you can tape it, but you can't release it right away. So there was back and forth about when, okay, can you tape it? Yes, we can. When can we release it? Well, we can release it this. Okay, so there's this whole big deal about all of these minutia rules.
Being made by the Clintons.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the Clintons ultimately won out.
That's like going to court and telling the judge what the rules will be.
And here, thank you very much, because what are we seeing all across the U.S.? It's the tyranny, the black robe judicial tyranny, as well as the Soros prosecutors, the leftists. They're all doing this. So this is happening in every aspect of our society, in our legal system, in our judicial system, our legislative branch, and even our executive branch. This is what's going on.
A mockery.
Okay, so if you look at the deposition process here, the very problematic process that took place. The reason I'm saying this is because, again, I'm in my lane now. Okay, having been deposed and being part of the deposition process and in criminal element or criminal realm as well as a civil realm for different reasons, hundreds of times over the last 40 years, I know what I'm talking about, and this was thrown from the start. And then, okay, you have another thing taking place. The fake outrage. Well, no, I shouldn't say fake. Even before that, the fact that you have an assortment of non-professionals asking questions. When in the course of human history has anyone, if you're in the chat, let me know. Maybe you're an exception, where you have been deposed or been part of the process of a deposition, where you have people who are not attorneys, not prosecutors in the criminal side, asking questions. When? Have you thought about that?
Never.
Okay. And a big sticking point, which I should have mentioned earlier, was they argued over the smallest things, but the main point was the scope of the questions. When, if Randy Taylor, if you are accused of being a pedophile and raping a child, if that's you, okay, which obviously is not, okay, as an example, because I want to throw in the inflammatory band that language that people are afraid to say, right?
Right.
Okay, so if you are accused criminally or about to be, well, no, we'll just keep it on the civil side. So if you are being sued by the parents of a child you sexually assaulted and raped and traumatized, do you think that you would be allowed to set any rules at all?
Yeah, man, I'm going to make all my rules. Okay. We will talk about only what I want to talk about.
Exactly.
And that's pretty much what happened.
So even before the answers are discussed, it's the question, or it's the whole process. They made a mockery of the process. Mm-hmm. And not only did the Clintons make a mockery of it, it is the right, it's the Republicans that made a mockery of the process.
Because they allowed it.
They allowed it.
They allowed it.
They allowed it. You said it. They allowed all of this.
You know, when Hillary stepped up and was all upset because the person taking pictures and leaking them, that wasn't part of the agreement. What?
That was a fake outrage. And I want to get into this because, RT, again, yeah. I spent a lot of time. You can use these skills in different ways. I did act as a consultant for jury selection. I have done that. I've also done my field work in a police environment, law enforcement environment, to assess people that are in the box, you know, behind the one-way glass. Okay, so for people in the box during interviews, I've done that. I've also, so I've worked with, and I've also worked with some intelligence, the FBI, okay, as part of my training, as well as part of my field experience, as well as some test cases. Okay, so I've done that. So just so people understand where I'm coming from, okay, now, I'm not sure where I was going with all that, except to say that.
We're talking about setting the rules. We're talking right, about.
But you mentioned her outrage.
Yeah, the fake outrage part of right. The Dog and Pony Show.
Right. So the scenario there, as I understand it, and folks, you can correct me, is Lauren Bobber. Now, you might think, well, this is old news, and what the hell does this have to do with anything? Hang with me for a minute.
Yeah.
Hang with us. Okay. Boebert reportedly took a picture using her iPhone, which, by the way, it's interesting because usually in environments like that, they put your iPhone or your phone in a bag and you don't. Anyway, so there was a picture taken of Hillary given to a social media influencer. Benny Johnson or whatever, Thompson Johnson, I guess. And then he posted it online. And of course, you know, then that got back to Hillary. And then there was this, outrage. I'm going to show you, we are going to show you why that was bull crap. That wasn't outrage. In fact, we're not going to show you. We're going to allow one of the best in the business to show you what happened in both with Bill and Hillary and why it's important. So all of this is, here's why I brought this up now as opposed to a little bit from now. Randy, all of us are being told one thing, and the people who are on our side are doing another. Mm-hmm. From the
people that are supposed to be on our side. Rephrase
exactly,
that.
Yeah. Exactly. We are being hoodwinked by pretty much everybody. We are having dollars stolen from our wealth, our treasures are being stolen from us and our children and given to the Somalians. You think that's going to stop? It's not going to stop.
Nope. Do you think insider trading is going to stop?
Never will. You remember last week the House put forth a bill. Hey, we're going to what was the bill about the slush fund, the sexual harassment slush fund?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're yelling and screaming. Yeah, the Democrats were about, they want those Epstein funds released now because we're interested in protecting the victims of sex crimes.
But what happened with that bill?
Yeah, and then they say, hey, you guys want to disclose the contents of the slush fund to the general public? You know, the congressional slush fund where you crawled in bed with little boys and got caught and had to settle out of court. Yeah, you know, that slush fund. And you know what they all said? Absolutely not.
Yep.
They voted against it.
The same people that are screaming for the Epstein files with the claims of all these sex claims are saying, no, we don't want to. We don't want to disclose what Congress is doing in the Senate. When I say Congress, that's Senate and Congress, Senate, the House of Representatives, okay, as one body.
But this is an appropriate term.
This is the irony. This is the bullshit of it all, encapsulated right there.
There is.
You just put those two paragraphs together, and you just saw our entire houses of legislation that are running this country. And if you don't think every one of those people need to be pulled out of those chairs, you're wrong. Those people shouldn't be running anything. They should be running for home.
The other thing as well, this whole process is playing out not just with the Epstein issue, not just with whatever. I mean, name the flavor of the day, the headline of the day. Yes. It's being played out with Iran. It's being played out with the NATO right now. Okay, oh, NATO, you know, oh, boy, there's problems with NATO. Being played out with President. It's always been played out with President. All of these things are being played out all across the environment. And more importantly, it affects you. It affects your reaction. It affects how you, sometimes it affects how you mood and how you maybe conduct your day. Maybe it doesn't, but maybe it alters it a bit, but we have to identify what's going on. And we have to identify really what's the intent, what's driving this.
There's something there.
All right. Let's go to cut one first to kind of set the stage, and then we'll rapidly move through this, okay?
Go.
All right. Let's go to cut one. Chase Hughes, by the way, is well known in the BAU, the Behavioral Analysis Body Language, very, very well known. He's written a lot of books. He's very good at what he does. Trust me on that. In fact, there are two guys that I know are extremely good with. I know more than that, but two especially, which we're going to show tonight. Chase Hughes is number one. Number two is Scott Ross. Those two guys. The links will be in our program description box at HagmanPI.com. Thank you for allowing us to show these for critique and critical purposes. So, to show people, and then we're going to drive, and folks, make sure you sign up or follow them on whatever channels are on. Okay, follow them, become a subscriber, do whatever. You'll learn a lot. But this is the cornerstone for tonight. Watch how they are trying to manipulate you. This is less than a minute and a half. There's video one. There's video two, which is 53 seconds. There's video three, which is just over a minute. We're going to play those videos very close together, Eric the Tech. The first video is watch how they try to manipulate you. The second one is think you can't be fooled, think again. And the third one is are manipulators using cognitive dissonance on you? Now, you know what? We throw that phrase around a lot, don't we? Cognitive dissonance. Everyone thinks they know what the hell cognitive. Oh, I know what that is. Define it for me. Not you, Artie, but define cognitive dissonance for me. Just saying. Hey, you talk about it all the time. No, that wasn't good. You talk about it all the time.
That's why we don't work with explosives.
That's why.
That would have been the end of the show, folks.
And, you know, people wonder, well, how in the heck did you have a piece of metal fly and hit your face? It happens. Okay. So, anyway, yeah, I'm a klutz. But speaking of explosives, I should tell the story. Randy Taylor and I, we did some ops back in the day, and there were a few times bullets, bombs, and hose. Bullets, bombs, booze, and streetwalkers. Just saying. Got a lot of stories to tell you. That guy's crazy. He's crazy.
I'm fun to hang out with on a stag out.
he paid his dues, though. Yeah, stakeouts, by the way, are no fun. If you've ever been on stakeouts,
boring. Oh
yeah. Plus, you get all kinds of clammy, and you eat like crap, and if you're not sitting there doing nothing, you're.
But you meet the most interesting people.
Oh yeah. Sometimes when you're laying back on a stretcher, and other times when you're, forget it. All right, we'll save those stories, but let's do these 1, 2, and 3 very quickly. And this is about how we're all being gamed in the larger sense. Don't let folks, please. I beg you, please pay attention. Please follow Chase Hughes. Subscribe to his stuff. Wherever he's at. The link will be in the program description box at Hagman PI, as well as the program description box for Rumble. Subscribe to his stuff. I'm going to tell you that. And learn, because, what you don't know can kill you. Before I go any further, RT, I don't think I've told you this story. You and I, maybe I have, maybe you know about this, but my second or third year as an investigator, very quickly, I was testifying in south of where I sit right now, okay, in the city south of where I sit. And I was assigned to work with an agency to investigate this big fraud case. So I'm very familiar with fraud cases, too. And with me was a partner. Her name is Gina. You might know that name from the books, my two books, right? All right. We were both called to testify, and it was like $5 million. The target of our investigation, the subject of our investigation, was a man. He looked like he was built like a brick shit house. He was a former border guard for the I can't think of the name of the outfit. It wasn't it was the East German border guard. So he was stationed in Berlin. He was guarding. He was a member of the group that would shoot the people trying to escape into West Germany. Okay, that's to give you the context. Anyway, he was granted temporary asylum. Here in the U.S. I don't even think I told Eric this. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. He was granted asylum here in the U.S., and he came over to Western Pennsylvania, and he was working as a day laborer, but that wasn't really what he was doing. He was engaged in this big fraud thing, and he ended up embezzling like $5 million. At that time, $5 million was a lot of money, right? So we got the goods on him, and we were testifying in criminal court. Gene and I were. I was first up, and before the trial started, and this is important. This goes directly to what we're going to be talking about. Before the trial started, we're sitting in the gallery of the courtroom, and Gina was a former police officer, and she was certified at that time in behavioral analysis, and she was advanced. She had some advanced certifications. In fact, she worked in part with the Department of Justice, doing just that before it was chic to do so. And we're sitting there together, probably 10 feet behind this defendant, the East German border guard. And she said, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I don't like this. This is before the trial even started. I said, okay, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Okay. So the trial started, and the defense and prosecution agreed that Gina and I would be sequestered because we were up first and providing testimony. So they let us out and put us in the hallway outside the courtroom. And the deputy sheriff did. And Gina grabbed the deputy sheriff's arm and said, hey, that guy, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to go off. He is absolutely going to go off on, I don't know, you check him for weapons, the guy's going to go off. Now, it was in August. It was hotter than a mama, and it was humid. It was muggy. People were miserable. The courtroom stunk. I mean, it was, you get the picture, right? So the deputy sheriff says, look, and you know, shut up. The guy's just miserable because he's going to go to jail. Plus, you know, he's hot. He's sweating like a pig. And Gina said, no, I'm telling you right now, he is going to do something. You better put some deputies around him. Deputy sheriff says, all right, whatever. So he walks in. You know, 2 minutes later, I get called in. So I'm on the stand. I get sworn in and all that stuff. And she wasn't supposed to do this, but Gina opens the door and kind of peeks in. The deputy sheriff looks at her and like, you know, get out. Well, in that period of time, this guy, I wasn't even talking about anything. I mean, it was just like at the beginning of my testimony, and we were just going through the non-problematic stuff. This guy jumped over the friggin' defense table, knocked the pitcher of water on the floor, knocked the table on its side, accidentally kicked his defense attorney, and was caught midair between me and the defense table. Because the deputy sheriff advised the other deputies in the courtroom to put some spacer, you know, be close to this defendant. What could have been a really bad event. Now, he didn't have any weapons or anything like that. He was just really hacked off. Okay. And it didn't even make the papers. It was just a dust up in the courtroom. Something was knocked over and big deal. No one was hurt. You know, no problem. That's the way it turned out. And it turned out that way because she was able to identify pre-violence indicators. Pre-violence indicators. Okay, now, the reason I brought that up is because there are certain things that you can identify just like that with other things, and including and especially pre-violence indicators in your town. When this crap hits the fan, you better know what to look for. They can save your life. RT, anything you want to say about that?
No, I absolutely agree with you. That's reading the person, reading people, reading groups of people. I've worked a lot of security positions, a lot of different things like that, and you try and spot it before it happens.
But you know, and you're right. But
I don't wait for it to happen. I'm trying to keep it from happening.
And you know, that's it. Because now, in the wild, you and I, and everyone listening and watching this, we don't have to put ourselves necessarily in a position of potential victimhood. Okay, we can avoid that, whether it's going to the grocery store, post office, or wherever. And teach your children this, please.
You have to, especially in today's day and age. It's getting worse out there, not better. It's getting worse. Right.
It's getting a hell of a lot worse. So the reason I mention that is the value in what you're about to hear. Apply that thinking into the PSYOP venue or the PSYOP system. Let's hit cut one. It's 50. It's a minute, less than a minute and a half. Cut one. PSYOPs expose what, or watch how they try to manipulate you. Important as hell, especially in today's environment. Cut one. Here it is.
PSYOPs use coordinated messaging to reinforce a narrative. So look for phrases that feel copy and pasted. And the moment you hear copy paste phrases, that is a PSYOP.
I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
That ain't true. That's what you just saw.
That ain't true. That's what you just saw.
That ain't true.
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 Since day one of Donald Trump's presidency.
Prices are up, not down.
Prices are up, not down.
Prices have gone up, not down.
Prices are up and not down.
Prices are up, not down.
Prices of groceries, gas, housing, eggs
are getting more expensive.
eggs.
Oh, and by the way, eggs, more expensive.
He's letting Elon Musk take a chainsaw.
To vital government programs. The Republican plan is simple.
Families lose.
Billionaires win.
And that is the truth.
If you see that shit going down, you need to be very terrified that something's going into your brain that doesn't belong there.
Yep, absolutely.
I was picking up my pen that I dropped.
We've seen that before with the news stations. Verbatim.
And this is why I brought this up. You know, that video, I think it's almost a year, if not a year old, okay? And I was involved in something that I had the opportunity to show that video around, and the person, one of the three people, so there was four of us, one of the three people that was with me said, you know something? I have to admit something. I didn't fall for COVID. I did not fall for the mask. I didn't fall for any of that crap. I've never seen that array of you know, the prices of eggs and what have you. I've never seen that cluster of activity. RT, I don't remember seeing it either. But you know, it became this mantra on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. They're given their talking points.
Exactly.
They're not coming up with something. They're not something they thought of while they were sitting on the toilet that morning. This was emailed to them.
It was emailed. It was conveyed to them somehow. And that's the other thing, too. It doesn't matter if you are on the left or if you're on the right, if you're in the middle, if you are an atheist politically, you are still subjected to all of this. Okay. And please listen to me when I'm telling you. Whether it is at school, at church, there's a lot of this going on in churches. There's a lot of it going on. It's going on everywhere where people are falling for bullshit.
And remember the 24-hour news cycle. This is playing constantly in the background. We have been under PSYOP ever since Ted Turner started his CNN crap.
That's right.
That's no joke. And I mean on a national scale like we've never seen before. We've always been under it to a degree. Okay? But not like CNN brought about and when we went into those 24-hour news cycles. Think about it, right? You're at home. It's playing while you're at breakfast, right? Then you get in the car. You hear it on the radio. Then you go to the doctor's office when you're sitting in the waiting room. Same crap you saw at home, playing there, right? And all throughout your day. Then you get to the office, and in some cases, it's playing at the office.
And it's I'm constant. Sorry to say, RT, you and I, I'm sorry to say, yeah. I've heard this on Fox News, not this particular iteration of things, but very similar on mm-hmm. Fox News that are nothing more. And I'm not talking about a leftist or a politically leaning left person talking on Fox News. I'm being interviewed. I'm talking about the Fox News anchors repeating some of the same.
And throughout their affiliates.
That's right.
I've seen them lined up where there's like 60 of them. And they're all saying the same thing.
Right.
And that's crazy.
So we all know that because we all saw that, especially during COVID, you know, or during the election fracas, which still is not going to be resolved. The SAVE Act, are you kidding me? It ain't going. Shut up. Okay. you think the right, you think that Thune and company, yeah. It's performative. It's you. Okay, if you fall for it, this is why I'm saying don't fall for this crap. So you're right. And you know, here's the other thing, too. If you look close enough, not only can you detect AI being used by conservative social media influencers on X or Facebook or wherever, or on Gab or name the platform, they're using these talking points as well. And yeah, when you look deep enough, you know what, RT? There's money behind that.
Yes. Accurate information is a commodity. Okay? These people do what they're told. Why? We talked about this earlier. They are revenue governed.
Absolutely. And ideologically bankrupt.
Absolutely. And morally bankrupt.
Morally, ideologically, yes, exactly. And spiritually as well.
Yeah.
All right. So number two, real quick, because people will say, well, I can't be fooled. Oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. Yeah, you can. Because, look, we're all subjected to that. Okay, I've stuck my foot in my mouth so many times, even as recently as today. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you know,
it happens.
It happens. You cut. If you can cut that down a little bit, then you're going to be ahead of the game.
Yep.
Here's why. Here's think you can't be fooled. Think again. Cut to 50 seconds. Here it is.
There's a lot of value in what you're teaching and what you're explaining to people. And I think if more people understand how psychological manipulation is used, they'll be less vulnerable to it.
The first things that we teach people is called the firewall illusion. So, like, if you went to Best Buy today and, like, picked up a laptop, and I was like, Joe, you should get the antiviral or whatever software there, and he's like, no, I don't believe in viruses. I'm immune to it. That's a problem. So if you believe you can't be persuaded by these things, if you believe that social media can't persuade me,
doesn't work on me, bro.
You are the suggestible person.
Yeah.
Like, your brain versus a $1 trillion computer, you're going to lose. I'm going to lose. And I can spot all of the things, and I'm still going to lose.
RT.
That's a guy that knows what he's talking about. He's telling you.
Yeah.
He's telling you he can lose.
So it is not a sign of weakness. Where the weakness appears, folks, is by denying that you can be fooled, because you can be.
Yeah.
But just be smarter than you were yesterday.
And okay, the best of us have been fooled at one time or another. Sure. Don't feel like you're an isolated incident. That's not the case.
And do not look, you know, you've got to know when to cut your losses. Yeah. This is my view, and RT weigh in on this too. You're never going to convince. If you're sitting in a bar and you're arguing with a drunk, you're never going to win that argument. So don't even engage.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're never going to. Somebody who's dead nuts sure that they're 100% accurate and refuse any kind of input, you will never convince otherwise. Just say it.
And you can get a lot of truth out of a drunk person too.
That if you know how to, yes, if you know
how to work it.
And you know, I joke about using a phone book and stuff. Okay, that's not the best way. The best way is just, I'll tell you, folks, the best way is to listen. Shut your yap and listen.
Yep.
Cut three. We mentioned together, we talked about cognitive dissonance. Let's take a look at that. Are manipulators using cognitive dissonance on you? This will define what it is and will also give you that barometer reading. Here's cut three. Minute nine. Here it is.
Cognitive dissonance comes up when new information clashes with our identity or our beliefs. So psyops exploit the hell out of this by including microagreements. Microagreements are little small, seemingly harmless concessions to shape your identity. And over time, you're going to unconsciously align your behavior to reduce that internal conflict. And as a weaponization example of this, a psyop might present you as a part of moral or intelligent enlightenment, like only good citizens do XYZ. If you disagree with that, you risk some identity conflict there. So
reflect on your identity and ask, am I being nudged to identify with some other group?
As an example of this, let's say a company launches an ad campaign and they claim
real patriots buy local. If you disagree with their product, it feels like rejecting your identity as a patriot. So this pushes you to conform. Be very, very skeptical about those identity statements.
It's a sales technique. I've been in sales a good part of my life. And when you're talking to somebody and you said, and Bill, and you being the smart guy that you are, right there, you're working them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then you say, you know, as everybody knows, everybody in the industry knows that this product, you just worked them again. I just gave you two simple examples in two sentences.
You know, when you're dealing with, look, use this on everybody except your spouse, okay? Use techniques to get to the truth. Don't do it with your spouse. Trust me, you don't want to do that. it's frowned upon. Now, but here's the other thing, okay? Randy Taylor, you sent me a Facebook posting earlier today.
Yes.
Describe the video that you sent to me. It was on Facebook. It was posted on Facebook. And
yeah. Describe, we're talking about the Islamic one?
Yes. Without seeing it. And so no one can, I don't want anyone to see it right now. Just describe it for me.
Okay. This is justification. Muslims per se seeking justification.
Who's talking roughly? I mean,
an imam.
An imam,
right?
A leader of the Islamic
of a herd,
right? Okay,
okay, a cult leader.
Okay,
okay, and he was trying to justify the use of anal explosives hidden in the anus, okay, and to practice to have these anal explosives be effective, and in order to deploy such explosives, the people would have to, good subjects, would have to allow their anus to be probed, okay, and opened up and enlarged, so that they would be able to carry out the will of Allah.
So the young guys out there who want to be martyrs are going to have to take one for the team in the backside,
right?
By a shawl, right?
In the ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, folks, think about that.
We're not playing here. We're not joking. This is real.
Right. Exactly.
This is as real as your imam's telling them it's okay to rape children. It's in the Quran.
You get the idea. Official setting. It was an imam, and yes, it was an absolutely accurate, 100% accurate video. The authenticity was verified. It was an imam.
Yes.
Okay, it was 100% verified.
It's our business to know this.
Okay, now. It was in Arabic, so we're not going to play that. It's a bunch of crap anyway. So picture an imam saying, okay, guys, young boys, look, I would encourage you to have anal sex with, you know, with Bubba over there or whoever in order for the explosives to fit up your rear end so you can go out and be martyrs for Islam. That was the message, essentially. Posted on Facebook. By someone saying, hey, this is true. And it's true. That was said by an imam. It was absolutely 100% true. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple other questions, RT.
Okay.
When was that posted to Facebook?
To Facebook?
Yeah.
That was posted recently, but I've seen that video before.
Okay.
And I mean years before.
Right.
But recently, that was just recently posted.
Exactly. And the comments, from what I could see, because I'm banned from Facebook, so I had to, you know, anyway, the comments essentially were, oh, that can't be true, or, oh, this is bunch of BS. No, it was 100% true. It was said, and that was a guy, the guy was identified and so on. Okay. Now, here is my point. You said you saw it before. I saw the same thing before.
Yep.
So when you said it to me, I thought, wow. So I had somebody that was able to log into Facebook and whatever, go to that particular site. I'm not going to link to Facebook. Screw them. And tell me, so it was recently posted. You're correct. And get to gauge the comments. Okay. Eric the Tech, if you can go to page 2. That, by the way, was picked up on X, on a number of other social media platforms, and by a lot of people, that video clip. Why? Because, hey, sex sells, right? Clicks for sex.
Yep.
All right. Folks on your screen, or for those at home listening or driving and you can't see this. This is the Middle East Forum. It's dated July 12th, 2012. Sodomy for the sake of Islam, in quotation marks. Okay. Now, the reason I selected this, there are other articles earlier than this describing that clip, going back to 2010.
Mm-hmm. About the time we were concluding a lot of our counterterrorism shows.
Exactly. So here's why I selected this particular page for this topic. Can't be fooled, huh? This is by Raymond Ibrahim. You know him. We know him. Great guy. Gatestone Institute at the time. July 12, 2012. In a recent article titled "Sodomy for the Sake of Islam," Raymond Ibrahim, an associate fellow at the Middle East Forum, reported that the speaker, by the way, is Abdullah Hassan El Asri, plotted to assassinate the Saudi prince in 2009 with a bomb hidden up his butt. Now, that was true. Okay. Because, Randy Taylor, you had discovered some things on Arabic language forums I had found using those search terms in my hard drives. Okay. So, anyway. This goes on. This article goes on. The link will be in the program. You can read this. But here's the key right here. People said this is a hoax. In fact, Benjamin Doherty of the Economic Intifada website denounced the Ibrahim article, claiming that he fell for a vulgar hoax. All right. Was it a hoax? I just assured you, everyone, it's true. And it is true. But it's old. It's from 2010. That's when that video was made. Now, this article points out that the original underwear bomber, remember him, was going to hide explosives up his butt to assassinate that Saudi prince in 2009. Okay. In fact, this particular scenario, what predates this scenario, is the shoe bomber. The same thing happened with the shoe bomber, okay, in terms of Taylor, Randy Taylor, sitting right across from me, found the shoe bomber stuff on an Arabic language website, password protected, turned it over, and now, you know, through the years, now you have to take off your shoes, right? I don't know if that's true anymore because I don't fly and I'm not going to. Okay. This, however, everyone said it was a hoax. Do you know what, RT? That was picked up by a lot of big accounts on X, big accounts on Getter, big accounts on, social influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Reposted, and then when they said it's a hoax, you fell for it, citing some of the same older sources. The influencers took it down. You can't find their posts anywhere. Why do I bring this up? you tortured the hell out of that topic, right? Now, listen to me. This is going on right now everywhere. You're being told it's true. Then you're being told it's a hoax. What do you believe? You have to dig down. You start digging down. You start doing the own research. It takes time. It takes a lot of, sometimes it takes expertise, but then not being sure, you take it offline. You can't defend your position. You don't defend your position. When in fact, the very people who posted it as being true are now embarrassed because, oh, I fell for a hoax, and they deleted their own post. You shouldn't have done that. It was true. Just not recent, but true.
Yep. Okay. And it was another example of an imam dictating to a congregation who has no idea what's true actually in the Quran. And an imam is sitting there saying whatever he wants is in the Quran, because they only know what he says.
That's right.
And people don't seem to understand that. These people you see walking around with Qurans in their hands, they've never read it.
At least not a valid version.
No. And Doug's very true there. And honestly, there's very few valid versions of the Quran. And heaven forbid it's in Arabic. Okay, because these clowns, you have to clowns walking on the street, more than half, 99% of them can't read Arabic or write it. And you get over in Pakistan, they've got Arabic Qurans all throughout the country. That's what they rely on. But they don't speak Arabic in Pakistan. People don't realize that. They speak Pashtun.
And what about Iran? Farsi a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's where a lot of, that's why it's the imams, in my opinion, that are 99% of the problem in Islam.
So, RT and folks, you might say, well, man, you're all over the friggin' place. You started talking about the depositions, and then you gave, talked about the falling for psyops and all this, and
we're all in the same sheet of music here. This is all intertwined.
It is.
We just gave you an example of a psyop, that Bill and Hillary Clinton was a psyop.
And but who perpetrated the psyop? It was the very people we enlist or trust.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Because we have not asked the proper questions. Yeah. It's not what they lied about. It's the fact that they never got the opportunity to lie about the important stuff, because they were never allowed to ask that question. And they had people asking the questions that don't know how to ask questions in the deposition.
Yeah. Yeah. You might as well have had a bailiff question of the defendant.
We're asking the wrong questions. We're believing the wrong people. We're following the wrong people. Don't follow us. I mean, I'm just saying, watch. You've got to follow one thing. The ultimate truth is the Word of God. It's the Holy Bible. Everything else is a bunch of crap. It's noise. Okay.
And this stuff that you're seeing online, please go investigate it.
Right.
Okay. Please investigate it. All right. If it says Babylon B, keep moving.
I mean, if it's labeled satire, okay, I understand.
Unless if you fall funny. For that, if it's funny, it's funny.
Okay. It is, right?
Yeah,
but
sorry, Babylon B.
I mean, I think they can take it.
They are pretty funny.
But okay, so all of that, you're thinking, okay, this is a bunch of wow. I'm confused. Well, let me unconfuse you. Let us unconfuse you. Okay. Hang on a minute. Let me make sure I got
this. This is how all that Q bullshit got started.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember Q? Do you remember Q? We still have people on X. This is one of the reasons why I got off of X. Not just the Canada thing. I'm just tired of the crap. You see all these people and they get it and they take something and they run and they tell this great story and all this and blah, 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 blah. And you get down to the end and there's not a source. There's not a source. And then you ask them, can you source this? That's a great story. Man, I hope this is true. Can you source it? Not a word. I mean crickets. And said, then I start looking, and it's not just the left doing it. The right's doing it too.
There you go. Yeah.
And it's, this is ridiculous, people. Because in some cases, I know there's just bold, outright lies being told. So then my question is, who is behind that? Because it's not a real person's name. It's a something. You know what I mean? A dog fart, whatever. You know what I mean? It's so something that means it's not a person. There's not even a person's picture there. Something gray. You know, the sky is gray. That's supposed to be a trusted source? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And people run with it. And I'll see the same story. Boom, 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 all over Twitter, all over social media. The same stinking story that wasn't sourced to begin with. Guess what? By 5 o'clock, people think it's gospel.
Where is that most dangerous to all of us? Right now, it's following bullshit. Wrong thing. Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Because it's not the truth.
Right.
You may want it to be the truth, but it's not.
Exactly. Let's go to cut four. We can't play all of this, but I think this was Eric the Tech. I'm not sure. I think I might have played this or one of those or when we were talking about psyops and stuff, how to identify a psyop. If you already saw this or part of this or saw this on your own, just hang with us for 3 minutes, okay?
It's part of our psyop, so just roll with it.
There you go. There you go. go ahead and hit cut four. We'll play like 3 minutes of it, and then we'll move into the real psyop that's taking place. One of the real psyops. Go ahead. A couple of minutes on cut four.
Intelligent minorities can engineer consent through the use of manipulation, propaganda, and control. And we should do it.
People have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
We're in the midst of a serious financial crisis, and the federal government is responding with decisive action.
I know that the American people share my deep belief that if a danger exists in the world, it is a danger shared by all.
We need to actually double down on the public health measures.
You can't look at that television and say, nothing happened on the 6th.
We'd like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple to you. You're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
Most people have no awareness of how easily our behavior and even our identity can be completely taken over. But people are waking up. I spent 20 years in the U.S. military. I'm a behavior expert. I've trained psyops. I'm the best-selling author in behavioral psychology. I want to show you exactly how to identify what we call engineered reality, or what some people call psyops. Into this, I'm going to give you a tool that's literally going to give you a score out of 100 that shows you how likely something is to be a psyop. Let's do this. So the first thing you need to know is following the fate model. Focus, authority, tribe, and emotion. This is what triggers the mammalian part of our brain that makes all of our real decisions. The first part is focus. Psyops always aim to hijack your attention with repetition, shocking visuals of fear-inducing scenarios. Some examples are like 24/7 media coverage of a crisis or constant repetition of terms like unprecedented. So with this, pause and ask, why is this message being pushed so aggressively? So compare how much airtime different stories are receiving and note any disproportionate focus. The second part here is authority. Trusted figures might shift their tone or positions unnaturally to support the narrative. So watch very closely for expert panelists or endorsements where authority figures might speak outside of their expertise. Pay close attention to that one. Then we have tribe. So messages that polarize opinions or create stark in-groups versus out-groups or exploit our tribal instincts. For example, labeling groups as patriots versus traitors or scientific versus deniers. Be very careful when you hear that language. Finally, we have emotion. So be wary of any communication that triggers strong emotions like fear, hope, or outrage without any clear, verifiable evidence. So emotional responses suppress critical thinking. Emotional responses suppress critical thinking.
Okay,
so the tip here, analyze the...
All right, folks, I encourage you, I implore you, I ask you, watch that video, okay, and sign up, follow him.
Go ahead. To go with his last phrase there, and the last thing he was talking about, how it brings about emotional things. One of the biggest things that got stuffed up our keisters was the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act. I played on our to get us to accept it. We were patriots if we accepted this invasion of privacy, this invasion, the crazy things they did under the Patriot Act. But that's the way they labeled it, so we would buy it right after 9/11. Come on, we were patriots, and then that's how they work us. That's exactly how they work us.
I fell for that. You
we
fell
all
for
did.
That.
We all did. We all did. We fell for it.
But that is not to say, folks, there is a threat of terrorism to the U.S. because it was invited in by Obama, by Bush, by Clinton, by Biden especially, and to some extent still being allowed in, but it has always been there. It's just the severity that's increased over the last decade.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's a real enemy. Don't think it's not a real enemy.
And yes, as strange as it sounds, that story about guy putting explosives up his behind, after it gets stretched out by Bubba. Okay, it's true. It doesn't sound true. It sounds so bogus that people in positions of influence said, oh, I'm sorry. I fell for a hoax. It's not a hoax. So both ways. You can get munched up both ways.
Yep.
All right. Eric the Tech, I'm going to say, I thought I included this and I didn't. I'm going to send this this link to you right now. It's not going to have a title. It's just go ahead and play this, okay? And in the meantime, what else, RT, your thoughts on the PSYOPs part? Because that's, and folks, follow Chase Hughes, follow the behavioral panel, follow Scott Ross on these videos, follow them, support them, do whatever.
No, but he mentioned one of the things we were talking about, the 24-hour news cycle.
You did, yeah. I thought of you when I saw that.
Yeah, we got into that. In fact, a couple years ago, I think we were really talking about that. And it's just one of the things we've always said. Because PSYOPs, there's a certain repetition to it. Okay? It's repetitive. It's repetitive. It's to drive that point home. It's repetitive. In case you missed it the first time, I'm telling you again, because it's repetitive. We want to make sure you get it. And that's exactly what that 24-hour news cycle is doing.
To put this to what you said earlier, okay, as well as in addition to what you just said, think about this. If you are interviewing, or if you're talking to someone, let's say you're talking to your teenage child, okay, and
as one-sided as that can be sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And they say, I didn't, or you say, look, so-and-so said they saw you driving after dark, or whatever the case might be. What would their response be if they didn't do it? It would be a declination. It would be a denial. No, I didn't do it. And of course, you can get into, you know, the non-contracted denials, like I did not do it. You get all the linguistic stuff. You can get into all of that. But you know, even before that, ask yourself, is the person I'm talking to, in this case, your teenage person, son, daughter, whatever, or grandchild, or neighbor, or whoever, are they telling you, or are they trying to sell you? Okay? Are they trying to tell you that they didn't do it, or are they trying to sell you on the idea that they didn't do it? Apply that across the board to everybody. Now, be careful, though, because if somebody accused me of, I don't know, you know, blowing up a church or something, I'm going to be damn, not only am I going to be say, hell no, I didn't do it, I'm going to sell my butt off. It's going to look like I'm selling my butt off, I should say. So you got to be careful in the application of this. It could be dangerous. You could be wrong. But trust your gut. Trust what you see. Now, let's
bring it forward. Was that mosque or church? No, just kidding.
Synagogue! All right. So, look, folks, this might not be glitzy and glamorous. You know, you want the fire brimstone, you can tune in InfoWars. If you want the sales pitch, you can tune in to Bungie, you know. If you want the bias facts, tune in to whoever. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you, truth often isn't glitzy and glamorous. It's the truth, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And that's one thing on this program, definitely. They're just trying to help. That's all. Yeah. They're just trying to help.
We're not going for numbers.
No.
We're not going for revenue. Although, let me throw this in here because I this deserves another hit. Folks, Randy Taylor is really on the ropes. He's done a lot for our country without getting paid. He's done a lot for every one of us. He's really good. So if you can see your way to help him out, RT. What was it?
It's through PayPal.
Right.
And it is rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. rt.recoveryfund@gmail.com. And my friend Lance is handling all those. So during the transaction, you'll see his name at some point. Don't be alarmed. He's the one. And he's doing, listen, he's done a marvelous job. And I'm a long way from the finish line. Like I said, I'm not one that likes to come out and ask for anything. I've always fought for everything I had on my own. But I need your help, and you know, thank you. The folks that have helped me, thank you very much, because it's a blessing to have you in my life.
I've seen Randy Taylor reach in his pocket and give money, give his own money when he was flush. Okay, I've seen him help out a lot of people. I've seen him fly up when our colleague Skip had cancer. He flew up. He spent days up here away from his business. He did a lot. He made a lot of sacrifices. Ultimately, passed away. Skip.
And I came up to make sure Skip knew the Lord.
That was true. That was true.
The point to the trip.
Yeah, it surprised me.
Yeah, so Doug and I could sit down with him in earnest and make sure that he was going to heaven.
And you know something? Mission accomplished because of that man. So understand, he is a hurting pup, and if you can see your way, help him out, because he's helped so many over so long, and he deserves it. All right. The link for that will be in the program description box. Go ahead.
That's enough of that, folks. Right. Thank you.
All right. So let's go to the link I just sent to you. Listen to this. And we're only going to play a few minutes of this. This is Lindell TV. All right. And the question asks is, or the allegation is, PSYOP targeting evangelical Christians exposed. How would you take this, which you're about to hear? Kevin Shipp, you remember him? Kevin Shipp appeared on our program 3-4 different times. CIA officer who wrote a book in the Company of Shadows. He wrote an additional one, but that one, he premiered that book on our show, Joe and I, back in, 2013. Got to know him very well. Very nice guy. Okay. Extremely accomplished man. Kevin Shipp on Lindell TV. I'm not sure if he'd take my call today, but there it is. I'm not sure he wouldn't either. So there's that. Iran. In the wake of President Trump launching a war with Iran, there's a lot of questions emerging about what some believe is a coordinated information operation targeting evangelical Christians online. You can watch the whole thing. The whole thing's like, I don't know. Maybe it's short enough where you can play it. Go ahead and hit Eric Tech. Hit it.
In the wake of President Donald Trump launching war with Iran, you might have noticed, especially if you follow me on X, that a bunch of Department of War employees or contractors posing as MAGA anons recently began pushing a piece on evangelical Christianity, supposedly written by an account known as Insurrection Barbie, which behind the scenes is a woman named Irina Pashinskaya Sedano. Now, here's the problem with this.
Listen.
This woman is a convicted felon. But people like James Lindsay and, of course, Dan Bongina boosted this piece. And I said this woman allegedly wrote it, but we're wondering who it actually wrote it. Here's where it gets really dark. The feds running this op are setting up this convicted felon as some sort of evangelical spiritual leader. I mean, just look at recent posts. Did Irina suddenly get a divinity degree after jail? And yes, there's even a large number, like I said, of DOW employees and contractors pretending to be MAGA accounts on X. This network includes MAGA influencers who get paid per tweet to defend these pro-Israel information ops. And you know that because there's been lots of news out there about that. The $7,000 per tweet news, the fact that they were using Brad Parscale to dole out these payments. And I know people who got on the payroll personally. Guess what? The reporter known as Bonchi at Red State and Dana Lash even got upset when I pointed out this network, which is obvious and right in front of our faces. In 2024, Insurrection Barbie implied that she's Jewish. In 2026, Barbie now claims to be an evangelical Christian, doing X spaces on theology for gullible people. So why did all of these people promote this scam? Many of the same people are also pushing the operation I'm calling Shabbat Shalom. That's the push to encourage you, a Christian, to stop going to church on Sunday and to switch to the Jewish Shabbat Sabbath on Saturday. Now, that's what I would call heresy. Christians began observing Sunday as the Lord's Day to commemorate Jesus' resurrection in the first century. Former CIA employee and whistleblower Kevin Shipp tweeted this on X, saying, quote, "One of the largest targeted groups for mass PSYOP operations is evangelical Christians. Government and intelligence agencies know they stand in the way of total state control. if they can be deceived by a mass psyop that the controllers are really one of them, they will follow blindly into tyranny. Kevin Shipp is also the author of the book, Twilight of the Shadow Government, How Transparency Will Kill the Deep State. And Kevin Shipp joins us now. And I'm so glad you could be with us, Kevin, because I've been pointing this out and you cannot even imagine how attacked I have. Well, you probably can because you know the operation well, but how attacked I have been by bots, paid influencers. It's been almost surreal, but it also reveals the method, right? It shows what they're doing. I was so interested when I saw your tweet about this psyop and noting that evangelical Christians are one of the biggest targets because they are a huge voting block, right? And Christianity does stand between us and the deep state tyranny. Talk more about this operation, Kevin, because you know it from the inside out.
All right, that it ends right there. The link will be in the program description box. The money statement there is the well-meaning evangelical Christians are really the focus and target of psyops.
Because they are people of faith.
There you go.
And once they have faith in something, you're not going to beat it out of.
Exactly.
And a lot of it just depends on who told him, who said it.
And you know,
that's the scary part. Especially when we know that we have these prophets dressed in sheep's clothing, or I'm sorry, dressed in wolf's clothing.
The sheep dressed in, the wolf's dressed
in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
The false prophets.
The false prophets, or the
and no shortage of false prophets.
There you go. So why all of this? Okay, why take a couple of hours out of your time, folks, tonight to listen to what seems to be this ill conceived, not very cohesive program? Oh, it's cohesive. It is. It is directed at really all of us. It's for my benefit to remind me that we are being played every single day by the left, by the right, by the Christians, by the Jews, by the Muslims, by the Hindus, by the deep state, by the patriots. We're being played. Different motives, different ideologies.
Different messengers.
And messages. But you know what? You can now identify them. Use the tools available to you to identify. And you may say, well, I don't have to because I know one when I see one. Okay, well, good. Then
you could be one of the first ones to fall.
And you know what? But maybe you're right. But the fact is, what's the first casualty of war? It's truth. What are we in? We're in a war.
Yep.
Remember, RT, were you part of the discussion? And folks, you can remind me, a couple of years ago, I said, watch conservative influencers, conservative podcasters. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I talked about, podcasters. They're being asked to join alliances. Anyone remember me saying that?
Yep. I've heard it from you before, sir, on this program. Yep. Do you ever wonder why when we go into a country and we invade, one of the first thing we do is try and take all the communications and talk to the people?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Because cut number, this we can only play a few minutes of. Cut number. Hang on. Oh. Addressed, man, you are right on target, brother. I appreciate, by the way, I appreciate having you here with me.
Oh, right on, man. I love coming here with you guys. And the only reason I brought that up is I didn't know Doug had this link set up for that. But we don't go in there just to take down communications to keep them from communicating with their troops. We want to talk to the people. Okay? Because the hardest thing to do is occupy.
Have you noticed the talk, RT? Oh, we're going to run out of missiles.
Right.
So President Trump's going to have to choose between a land invasion, a nuclear war, or something else.
Right? Damn it, it's school lunches or missiles, man.
Right. I mean, we're seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the gas is going to go up to $35 a gallon because the Strait of Hormuz is going to be closed. And
you got it.
Or tariffs suck. Tariffs good. Tariffs suck. Tariffs good. Epstein, everything else is a distraction. No, everything else.
And we want those Epstein files because we want to go after the people in there for all the sexual misconduct. But you cannot question Congress about their sexual misconduct.
And you know what? You ain't getting it anyway. You're not getting these. So, yeah. And guess what? Guess what? See,
the whole Epstein files thing was a waste of time, ladies and gentlemen, and a huge distraction for a million other things being dumped on you.
It wasn't initially. It became a diversion. Mm-hmm. There is something in the nonverbal analysis called, well, at least the behavioral panel call it chaff and redirect. Okay. And you can pick this out. You can pick, and I'll tell you what, after watching 9 hours of the Clinton depositions of the chaff and redirect, holy, ugh. Playing in my mind. Somebody asked Bill Clinton, when did your relationship with Epstein end? And he said, after he took a pause, and then he said, well, I stopped flying on this plane in 2003. Now, if I was asking that question, and I got that answer, did he answer my question?
In fact, I'd tell him it's not what I asked you.
There you go.
That's first I got to throw him back at him. That's not what I asked you, Clinton.
So we, the American people and the world, the Western world, we were treated with this deposition by individuals asking questions that were not answered, mm-hmm, by people who could not form a strategy to ask the questions, who had no business asking the questions.
People should be angry, Doug. Angry.
And yet, however, hey, look, we were given this investigative work product by the House, right?
Yep.
Fell for that one, huh? Everyone. No. We could talk about the minutia. All right, let's apply this real quick to Iran. This would be cut number. Hang on. This is good. This would be cut number. Hang on a second here. I'm looking. What the hell?
I hope you folks think this has been, and you agree it's been informative tonight. It's like Doug said, you know, you can tune in to people hollering the headlines. Cool. I get that. You can also tune in to people that are rehashing bullshit. That's cool. That's up to you. It depends what you want to listen to. But I like to think that these shows, I know that I've been doing with Doug, are very informative. You know, I leave here knowing, learning things.
Me too.
You know,
even more, especially from the comments and from the chat, the people in the chat.
Yeah. And just because we're like having a discussion at a table, and you folks are here with us, you know, and we're all talking to each other here.
Yeah, exactly. I you know what? I didn't have the target video. We'll go with cut 14. This again is Chase Hughes. I'm going to resort to that. Cut 14. And just play from the beginning and let's see where I can't remember. This is not my intended one, but this does touch on a few things. So go ahead and cut 14.
About Iran. If you think Iran has always looked like this,
I want you to pause for a second, because that belief didn't come from history. It came from just a bunch of repetition. There are people that are alive right now who grew up in Iran wearing jeans, listening to Western music, going to universities, falling in love openly, and then they watch their entire country just snap into something unrecognizable. And I think the part that most people miss is that Iran didn't evolve into this. It was taken. I've done several deployments across the Middle East, and you don't survive that without learning one critical distinction that I think all the headlines just completely erase, and the difference between a people and the system that cages the people. That's a big distinction I want to make right here, and this applies to all countries. But what you're seeing right now, the protests in Iran, the crackdowns, the silence when all the internet went dark the other day, that looks like chaos. That is memory colliding with fear, and I want to prove it to you. And once you understand how that collision happens, I think you're going to realize Iran is not an exception. Iran is a preview for the rest of the world. So what we're going to talk about is not a big story about religion. It's not even a story specifically about Iran. This is a story about how any modern educated civilization gets psychologically hijacked without realizing it until it's way too late. And by the end of this, you're going to see exactly where the takeover happened and the three paths that Iran is likely to take here in the next few months. In the 1960s and 70s, Iran was secular.
Okay.
They were educated.
Eric, can you just...
And they were,
okay, Eric the Tech and RT, the history is important. Folks, watch this. Watch it all. But if you can advance this to about 445, okay, and go from there. Because the next thing you hear is really going to... Well, it's important for you to hear. 445 and take a listen.
All these little new public rituals became compliance tests, and then speech became dangerous. Silence was a new way to just survive what was going on. So once belief becomes mandatory, truth becomes a liability. And that's the quote that you can write down for all PSYOPs. If belief becomes mandatory, truth is a liability. So the Iran-Iraq war hardened everything like crazy. All kinds of sanctions came after this. The economy strained. Surveillance got just ridiculously normalized. And informants, like people just telling on their neighbors, that just became ordinary. So an entire generation grew up knowing exactly what not to say, how to stay silent. And another grew up knowing nothing else. And here's a part that I think most people outside miss. This system that we're talking about in Iran didn't survive because all the people believed in the system. It survived because people learned how to live inside it, and they just treated it like it was a normal way, and suffering became just this thing that we go through in life. And that works until it doesn't, and you can see this in every country. So what happens is authoritarian systems don't collapse when people rebel against them. They collapse when their version of a story stops working on the people. So look at right now. There's people on the streets. They're fighting. They're...
Cut right there. Folks, go to the link. Subscribe to that channel. Watch that video. Not once, not twice, but watch it 5-6 times. It's rich in information and lessons. RT.
I need to look at that and the road that Canada's traveling. And I've always told you, I've always said it since I've been on the show. Trump got into the White House, but had Trump not got into the White House, what's going on in Canada is a training ground, a testing ground to see what they can get away with on the people. And Trump's not going to be president forever. And we could damn well have a stinking Democrat in the White House again. And it's just going to resume where Biden left off. Okay, and what you're seeing in Canada, what they're talking about here in this film right here, okay, you're already just starting to see the beginning of it. The beginning of it, where people are afraid to speak out. And I don't